Will you bow with me, please? Our Father in heaven, Lord, we come to you this day and we thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for bringing us all here together to worship you. Lord, we ask that you will give your blessing on this money that we receive, that we'll be able to use it in a way that's pleasing to you. Bless those folks that it give. I pray these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.
God's blessing to be with you this morning, that His Spirit will dwell within your hearts, and that you may enjoy the service here this morning. For a call to worship, I have picked Mosiah, the first chapter, 52nd through the 60th verse. This has always been one of my favorites, because it always tells to me what I owe the Lord and how I should conduct my life. King Benjamin at this time is growing old, and he has given his final message to the people in the land of Zarahemla, where he labors. I can't say it is his realm, because he labors for the source and for the care of these people. But in his message, he gives them a final thought that they should always remember. He said, I say unto you, brethren, that if you should render all thanks and praise, which your whole heart have power to possess, to that God which has created you, and hath kept and preserved you, and has caused that ye shall rejoice, and has granted that ye should live in peace one with another, I say unto you that if you should serve him who has created you from the beginning, and art preserving you from day to day, by lending you breath that you may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable servants. For behold, all he requires of you is to keep his commandments. And he has promised that you shall, if you should keep him, his commandments, you should prosper in the land. He never doth that which doth vary from that which he has said. Therefore, if you do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. Now, in the first place, he has created you and granted unto you your lives for which ye are indebted to him. And secondly, he doth require that ye do as he has commanded you. For if you do, he doth immediately bless you. And therefore he hath paid you. And ye are still indebted unto him in art and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what ye have to boast. And I now ask, can ye say aught of yourselves? And I answer, nay. Let's continue our worship this morning by singing hymn number 236. After which the invocation will be given by Brother Rich Adams.
Thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, we bow before you this day to give you thanks for everything you've provided for us and everything you have blessed us, for our families and the way we make a living and the strength to do it. Father, our congregation is scattered this day amongst this land, and that we ask that you'd be with those folks that are traveling and doing different activities, that you keep them safe, and that you might share your spirit with them, and that they might strive to do your work and share your word as they go amongst their way. Father, we ask that you be with Josiah this day, that you give him the words and the things that you'd like to share with us, and that we might feel your love and your spirit this day. Father, we love you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Up here this morning, that the gentlemen, the priesthood that are here with me this morning to minister to you are Teacher Glenn Hughes, Elder Rich Adams, Priest Josiah Bates, and myself. I'm in charge of Elder Bob Bates. Our speaker this morning is going to be my grandson, and I'm very proud of that. I'm proud of the fact that both he and his brothers have come to the understanding in their life that they must minister to the people in the name of God. For this, I am very pleased. I could say I'm proud, but you know, pride is not really a thing you should have. I am very pleased. And so this morning, I want to introduce my grandson, Priest Josiah Bates.
Good morning. For my scripture reading, I'm going to give you a little bit of back before we get on to the actual scripture. I'm going to be reading first from Job 32. And Job's with some of his friends, and his friends aren't too pleased with Job, and I'll be reading from chapter 32, verse 2. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Rachel, the not sure how to pronounce all these, so forgive me, the Buzite, and the kindred of Ram against Job was his wrath kindled, because he justified himself rather than God. Then I'm going to switch to Job 38, and just this whole chapter of Job 38 is God talking to Job and reproaching him pretty much because of what was talked about in Job 32. And just at the beginning of Job 38, 1 through 4. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundation of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding."
Can do. I love to to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell it more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when it seems a glory, I sing a new song. 'Twill be the old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old story of Jesus and his love.
Good morning. I'm going to start off with my usual disclaimer that I kind of just stand up here and we'll see how long it takes. And when I'm done, I'm done, and I'll sit down again. So hopefully you'll get something. Today I'm going to talk about who we are and who God is. My mom used to always tell us whenever we left our house, remember who you are and whose you are. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit today. Well, as most of you know, I'm Josiah Bates. I'm 22 years old. I attend MU. I have brown hair, brown eyes, a bit of stubble. And that's who people see me as when I walk around. That's what most people see me as. That's who I am. And there's physical descriptions and age and things that you do that describe everybody around you, like I play soccer, I weave, I knit, something like that, that describes who you are. Today I'm going to describe a little bit of who we are by the scriptures. And to start out, I'm going to start in Genesis 1:27. If I can get there. Genesis 1:27, "And I, God, said unto mine only begotten, which was with me from the beginning, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and it was so." And then from Genesis 2:8, "And I, the Lord God, formed man from the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul, the first flesh upon the earth, the first man also." And here we learn, obviously, that God is our creator, and that through that creation we are created first spiritually, then physically. And as such, we are both physical and spiritual beings, and require both of those needs for feeding of our bodies. We require both physical food and spiritual food for us. I'm going to turn now to 2 Nephi 1, 115. "Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy." We are men, and we were created from God that we might have joy. And that's something that I see a lot, that actually in my life has been something that I had to deal with when I was younger. I thought to myself, well, this gospel that we have has so many rules and restrictions. There's so many things I just can't do. And I was looking at the gospel all wrong. Because the gospel we have isn't a gospel of rules and restrictions and bad things. The gospel we have is a gospel of joy. God gave us the commandments that we have, that we might live a fuller, happier life, that we might see the joy that God has to offer. It's an amazing thing how many times we turn to other sources for our joy. How many times we look away from God and think, oh, I can go do this and that'll bring me joy. I can go do this and that'll bring me joy. And it might bring a temporary joy, but never a lasting joy. And I'd like to share a quick testimony about that. I've shared this testimony here before, I think. I was at a camp once, and we were just going along, and I was praying to God that he might use me in some way during the camp, and I felt happy. I'm usually a pretty happy person as I go throughout my life, but I was really looking for something more, some sort of joy that I didn't realize that I was looking for. And I was in charge of a fasting service one day during lunch, I think. Just me and whoever wanted to show up to the service could come and show up. I was just sitting there at the front of the little chapel that I was in, just praying, and suddenly out of nowhere, God sees fit to call on me. He's like, Josiah, I want you to go, and I want you to lay your hand on every person's shoulder in this room, and I want you to say a little prayer for them. And so I was like, oh, okay, we'll do that later, maybe. And so I was sat there and kept praying, and I was like, are you sure, God? I mean, that could be kind of awkward for everyone in the room. And he's like, no, I'm pretty sure, Josiah. And so I was like, oh, okay. And so I went around, and I started praying for the people that were in that room. And I just went up and sat behind them, put my hand on their shoulder, and said a little prayer for them. And afterwards, I felt totally exhausted. I was like, God, what happened? I was like, well, I guess I felt your spirit. I feel good. I'm not really sure why we did that, but that's okay. And later on that week, a girl stood up that was in that room with me, and she shared with me, well, me and the rest of the camp, that she was sitting in that room, and she was just struggling and struggling with her life. She was like, I don't know where to go. Everything's falling apart around me. I just don't understand where the Lord is right now. And she said, as soon as Josiah came up and touched my shoulder, a peace just flooded me. And I knew, without a doubt, that God would be there for me. And that's where I got my joy, and she got her joy, was in service to the Lord. And it's just amazing that before I felt the joy of the Lord in his service, I didn't really quite comprehend what joy could feel like. And it was just an amazing testimony for both me and her. To move on with who we are, sorry for this little sidetrack, we're going to go to Genesis 6:58. Back to Genesis. Genesis 6:58, and it is given unto them to know good from evil, wherefore they're agents unto themselves. This is a really important scripture to us because God gave us our agency. It says in the scriptures, I don't have the exact scripture with me, sorry, that in the beginning, God said, who will I send among them? And Satan came before God and said, Lord, send I, and I will make them love you. But Jesus said, Lord, thy will be done. All glory and honor unto thee. That's just paraphrasing. And that's what we see here, is that God gave us our agency so that we could show our love to him, so that we could fulfill his creation of us and have that joy that he talked about. And oftentimes, people talk to us and look at us and they're like, well, God's there. He could exist. Okay. So why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people? And to show this, I want you to think of... Well, maybe I can just... One second. All right, you can see this. Can anybody see this? All right. I've drawn three circles. This circle represents God's will. This circle represents my will. This circle represents everybody else's will. And this is why I think that good things happen to bad people, is because when we look at the three wills that we have there, we have my will and we have God's will. There's a little overlappy area where mine and God's will meet, and we do good things there. And then there's everybody else's will that overlaps with my will, and so their actions affect me. Like, say somebody's driving poorly and runs into me. Their action affected me without me having any action towards them. And then their will interacting with God's will. So no matter how close my will, my will and God's will get together, their will, if they are separate from God's will always affect me differently, will always affect us, because God gave them agency. Yay! And so their choices have an effect on everyone else around them. And that's something else with sin that we have. Sorry to go on this little tangent here. Is that sin never just affects us. It always affects the people around us. No matter what the sin is, it will always affect someone else besides you. So, now we're going to talk a little bit about whose we are. And to start with that, I want to go to 1 Corinthians 6:19. Maybe. We have 1 Corinthians. There it is. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have from God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We learned in the first little section of who we are that God created us. And now we know whose we are, because God created us. That God has ownership over us. That we are a temple for his Holy Spirit. All men are born with a portion of God's Spirit. All men. And so all of us are a temple for that Spirit, and whether we choose to cultivate that Spirit or not is our own choice, which is agency. Then we're going to turn to 2 Peter 2:1. I don't think that's the scripture that I wanted. Oh, never mind, it was. Okay, anyways, sorry. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in abominable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them, and bring them upon themselves swift destruction, that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. We learned from... John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and so on and so forth. But God bought us with a price, and that price was his son. And here we see that in these latter days, people will come and bring abominable heresies before the church of the Lord. And they will bring swift destruction upon themselves. And this is another thing about sin, is that it's never good. It always brings swift destruction upon you. No one else. You. John 1:4-16. 1 John 1:4-16. Not John. 1 John. we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That goes along with John 3:16, talking about that. Now I'm going to talk a little bit more about who God is and his purpose for us in this world. Our God is three things: all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving. Without any of those three characteristics, it wouldn't be a very good God. If he was all-powerful and all-loving, but he didn't know everything, he might try and change something, and, well, that wouldn't work out too well. If he was all-knowing and all-loving, but not all-powerful, what could he ever do to help us? If he was all-powerful and all-knowing, and he didn't love us, he could be bad, too. He could harm us, which would not be good. And because of that love that he had for us, he created us. It says in the scriptures, God first loved us that we might love him. And how true that is, that God first loved us that we might love him. Because of his love, he created us and he gave us our agency that we might, in return, show our love back to him. And through showing our, how do we show our love? By keeping his commandments. That's how we show our love to God, is by keeping his commandments and submitting our will to his, like Jesus did in the beginning. Unlike Satan. Don't be like Satan. Be like Jesus. Where's he going to go with this? Yes, I remember. God, when talking to Moses at the burning bush, said one of the most profound things I think God has ever said, which it's God, so it's pretty profound, is that when talking about whose we are and talking about God, he said, I am that I am. And that simple phrase encapsulates all of God for us. He is that he is. He doesn't change. He is always there. He knows everything. He knows what's best for us. He sees our past, our present, our future. He lives outside of time. And he sees our actions. And he knows that sin hurts us and harms us. But it says in the scriptures that for those who love the Lord, God always prepares a way. I mean, sure, I've messed up in my life. Sure, I've done things I'm terribly not proud of. But God always prepares a way for me to see his righteousness and his path. No matter how far I stray, if I always turn back to the Lord, he will find me. And that's an amazing thing for us, that God is who he is, that we can count on him. I mean, I can count on another human being, but they might get sick and might not be able to help me that day. And, oh no, that's a trouble. But God always is who he is. He never changes, and he never falters, and he never wavers. Now, looking at who we are man. We are created by God. We have the Spirit within us. We have our agency, and we are that we might have joy. And now we look at who God is. He is that he is. He is unchanging. He is loving. He is all-powerful. He is all-knowledgeable. And he bought us with the price of his Son, that we might be able to come unto him and have a fullness of our joy. God created a way for us to have that joy and that love in our lives. And that was through his Son. And now I'm going to look at who we should be to God. We should be his servants. We should be his people. But what does that mean? We should be his servants and his people. God gave us a task, as Brother Steve actually talked about in the class this morning, that we are to build up Zion, to spread his gospel across all the earth. And I believe that part of the reason that we don't have Zion today is because we don't understand who we are and who God is. And our relationship between them. God gave us love that we might love him back. God gave us love first that we might love our neighbors. And how do we express that love? By keeping God's commandments. And how do we give that love to other people? By sharing with them our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and giving them the same joy that we have found. I've seen people who talk to me and say, Josiah, at college especially, because I'm a bit of an oddball at college, I smile a lot. And they're like, Josiah, why do you smile? And I was like, I have hope for my life. I have joy in my life. I have Jesus in my life. And they're like, huh. Well, usually they're like, ooh, hope, joy. But when I get to the Jesus part, they're kind of back off. But I'm always like, and you can have that joy and hope too. You can smile every day because guess what? You have something to smile about. You've been saved, you've been redeemed, and you have the Lord in your life. Something that's been really difficult for me is our relationship with other denominations around us. And sorry, this is kind of a tangent for me from the rest of the sermon, but not really. And how we should interact with them in God's love. When we look at who we are God's people. We, in this church, are God's people. Because God has called men out of the world by revelation through his Holy Spirit, which we were given, and those men have responded to that Holy Spirit through their agency to show love back to God. And those men, which are priesthood, stand in God's place to bring ministry to his people. And these men that have this authority baptized us, the members of the church, so that we might have a fuller experience with God's Spirit and that we might come unto him. And the hard part is that not all factions, not all religions have God's authority. And not all factions and not all religions are necessarily God's people. We are God's people because we have that authority to stand in his place, in his stead, at all times and in all places. That is why we are God's people. He has called us and chosen us from the world to be his servants. We have that authority that no other church has. We have that responsibility to build his Zion here on this earth and to lift up the people around us to him. I'm experiencing my grandfather had 70 Delbert Smith. When he was called to be a 70, he saw a vision of Jesus coming to him. And in the vision, he huddled down and closed his eyes and shrunk away from the Lord because of the brightness that was there. And Jesus walked up to him and said, pick up this piece of coal. And Delbert looked down and there was a piece of grimy, disgusting coal on the ground. And Jesus said, pick up the coal and hand it to me. And my grandfather said, no, Lord, it'll dirty your hands. He said, Delbert, pick up the coal and give it to me. So my grandfather picked up the coal and raised it up to Christ. Christ took that coal and turned it into a beautiful diamond in this vision. And Christ said, Delbert, this is what I want you to do with the people of this world. I want you to listen to me, that I might purify them, that they may be clean vessels before me and holy. And how amazing is that? That we have the responsibility, the joy to share with other people, to give them hope in their lives in a hopeless world. To let them see that there is a God who loves and cares for them. And because of that love and that care, he wants us to have joy. And the best way to, only way to have that joy, not the best way, only way to have that joy, is through God and obeying his commandments. Because his way is the best way. His way shows us to love one another as we love ourselves. It's an amazing God we serve, and he is that he is. I'm going to wrap up now. I'm going to leave you with a challenge. That when people look at you and see who you are, that instead of seeing who you are, they see whose you are and a reflection of Jesus in you, that they might come to that joy and that same love that we have and that we cherish so greatly. Thank you.
Close our service today by the singing of hymn number 213. And let this be a statement that dwells in your lives. We limit not the truth of God.
Father, we just come before you at this time, and we want to thank you for your spirit that is with us this morning, and pray that it would go with each one of us as we go home. We thank you for Brother Josiah and the word that you give to him to share with us, and we thank you for your love. We just pray that you would be with us all. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.